The way to understand intuition is this. If you have a sense of peace, then you're proceeding, I think, in the best way. If you don't have peace, that is, I believe, your body signal to you that you are going against yourself. Okay, you're going against what you know. And so that's one of the things that we haven't really been taught. It hasn't really been defined. And I think that that starts narrowing it down. But we're all intuitive. When it comes to decision making, yes, I say get facts, yes, get information, get the data, get the documentation, but if it doesn't gel here, if it doesn't come together and feel right, then it's not the right decision yet. That's all that means. It's just not the time to decide yet. Some things are about timing. Some things are about now, and some things are about that you could have decided yesterday. But these are all risk. It's all a personal risk. It's all an intrinsic risk, and it comes from intellectually assuming that you don't have all the answers and that there could be another solution, physically making yourself move, get some new information, seek new knowledge, get some new books, or talk to people. And the third one is to start getting clear about how you'd like it to be. These are all risk. Now we move into the next pillar, which is the visualization. So pillar number two, I'd like you to write down visualize. As leaders, you carry the vision for this company. It is your vision that leads. It is your vision that motivates. And that means you have to know how you'd like it to be. You have to know how your people would like it to be. You have a lot of information to gather here, but you hold the vision, you hold the key. Now, in sports, I know you all understand that visioning and visualization are very important keys to athletics. In fact, some people will say, but Mary, I'm not very visual. I don't know how to visualize. But let me ask you this. If I ask you to spend every morning at breakfast for 30 minutes visualizing yourself getting sick, would you do it? Every morning for breakfast for 30 days, I told you for 30 minutes to visualize yourself getting sick. Would you do it? No, so there's something to this, isn't there? You all know that. There's something. Or this, how many of you have daughters? Uh-huh. And so, let's see, a 16-year-old daughter out on her first date with a boy that you don't even like. It's now 2:30 a.m. What are you visualizing? Okay, so we all understand visualizing, but we have not made it a discipline. No, what we tend to visualize is what? Worst-case scenarios. We do. Most of us habitually go to a worst-case scenario. And that's what we must stop if we're going to be very powerful, productive leaders. To be visionaries for the company, for mass expansion and growth, we must be able to see that and see it in very succinct terms. You know that athletes have used this for many, many years. They did some research at Chicago University, and they took three groups of students, and they had them all come in and shoot hoops, and they divided them into A, B, and C. And Group A, they tallied all the scores, and they said, Group A, what we want you to do is we want you to not go near a basketball, not pick up a basketball for 30 days. Don't even think about basketballs. Group B, what we want you to do is we want you to come into the gymnasium every day for 30 days, for an hour, and practice, physically practice shooting hoops every day for 30 days. And then Group C, what we want you to do is we want you to go to your dorm rooms, and we want you to spend an hour every day for 30 days in your dorm room visualizing yourself shooting hoops and improving your score. They brought them all back 30 days later. Group A did not improve their score. Didn't think about it, didn't touch a basketball, didn't even go near one. Group B, who came in and physically practiced every day, improved their score 24%. Group C, who never touched a ball but visualized improving their score, improved their score 23%. There is great power in visualization. In that, it cues you into the end result that we were talking about today, earlier today. It is the end result. In the face of adversity and in the face of change, when people are in resistance, it's the person with the strongest vision who wins. And I've always said that, the person with the strongest vision who wins. When we watch the Super Bowl, what are we watching? The team with the strongest vision. Strongest vision, consistent vision, heartfelt vision. That's who wins. ultimately, they're all winners, so they wouldn't get there. But the point I'm making is who wins. The person with the strongest vision wins. So visioning is a very important component to this whole process. You can go ahead and visualize worst case scenarios, and that will probably get to be your personal experience. But in bringing your teams together into a mastermind component, what you want to do is get all of your opinions, all your judgments, all of your arrogance out of the way. And suppose that there could be another way and there could be a greater way and that what people are wanting is possible. It's just we haven't found that way yet, and that's what the mastermind component is for. The third pillar is statements of intention. I'd like you to write that down. Statements of intention. Now, here's where I spend my 15 minutes every day, and I write, and many times it's more than 15 minutes, but I make time for this. I'm not going to show you what I wrote, but I'll show you. any notebook will do. You can see how much I write. I mean, I write. Because what that does neurologically is it pulls it out of the others. And what we're going to do here in a few moments is we're going to do some goal setting. And what happens when you start writing down goals and writing down your thoughts, how you'd like it to be, it starts moving you over here, out of the problem. So I have one rule, only one rule to this, and I cannot write how I don't want it to be. I can only write how I want it to be. So, let's say that I'm dealing with a very difficult person. And I'm writing about this person how I'd like it to be. I cannot write, I do not want this person to be a barracuda. I do not want this person to be a jerk. Because where am I? In the problem. Listen to my language. Statement of intentions is about new language. So how I must write is I must replace those words. I must replace those words with the most powerful words I can come up with I'd like to be my experience. Now, it's not true about this person yet. It's not true about this situation yet, but I don't care about that because I'm not languaging there yet. I'm not even able to meet adversity yet because I'm not speaking in terms of how I'd like it to be. This causes me to speak in terms of how I'd like it to be because I write, and it becomes part of me, and I'm creating new pathways inside of me neurologically that begin working for me without me efforting. So here's what I would write. Let's say I'm dealing with somebody who's a jerk. I would no longer even use the word jerk. I would not let myself think about it. What I want from this person is I want them to be accommodating, generous, accountable, competent, supportive. I mean, I listen to these words. Accommodating. How do you like that word?
Ooh. Nice.
Generous. Ooh, yeah, that feels real good. Now, you can't really see that that's going to happen, but that doesn't matter because it begins here. So now I'm in conversation. I've been writing this for a couple weeks maybe, and I'm in conflict with this person. And next thing you know, Mary does something that I find kind of jerkish. And now I'm able to address it with her. Why? Because I've been writing about it. I've been thinking about it instead of saying, you jerk, which always works, doesn't it? Now I'm going to say to her, you know, Mary, you know, when I interrupt you and you turn around and give me that look right there, what I really like instead is I just, you know, really love it when you're so accommodating with me. Now, I just gave her a piece of information. She will take. I don't have to beat a person up with information. I just have to give it to them. She now knows more about what I need and what I'd like. And we tend to approach problems, people, situation, projects, all of it from a problematic mindset instead of how we'd like it to be mindset. We've gotten examples of this. When we brainstorm, the purpose of brainstorming is to go over here, right? But how often do we get off balance and go back over to the problem? So this is a discipline. What I'm talking about here, so anything out of your mouth is your statement of intention. Where your attention lies, there is your intention. Whatever you're getting is your intention. And it's how we speak. It's how we language. There's very, very powerful language to be had, but we must think about it before we speak about it. And how I do that is getting very clear about my intentions. And how I do that is how would I like it to be? And don't think about how it's going to happen or is it even possible because that's not relevant at this point. All I'm doing is getting the creative mechanism of my mind off of the habitual thinking so that I can be creative in these situations that are calling something from me to be more than I've been up to this point. And I have to be able to think to do that. And the thing that allows me to think is the fact that I've been writing every day, that I write every day. Now, you can do this with your goals. You can do this with your to-do list. You can do this with anything that's pressing on you. But the rule is it must only be in the most affirmative terms. Now, did you hear the language that I just used? I didn't say positive. Why didn't I use the word positive? It's a fine word. How many of you have been, you should be more positive? How many have been told that? You should be more positive. Don't you just want to slap people when they do that? I don't use that. I know that I mean positive, but the reason why I use affirmative language is because I think it moves at a level beyond. I think that we overuse the word positive on people, on ourselves. But affirmative language means I'm going to affirm something. I'm saying that it can be. And so being positive, one thing, I'm taking it a couple levels higher, affirmative. And when we're affirmative in our language, will we affirm others? Absolutely. The next pillar is talk back or self-coaching, however you want to put it. Because as soon as you've decided something, as soon as you've taken an action, as soon as you're moving for it, what happens? Who pops into your head? There's somebody who gets in there. Your conscience or your mother. Or your father or your teacher or your brother. Who do you think you are? Are you nuts? You should be happy with what you've got. Are you crazy? You can't go and do that. That's impossible. That's not realistic. Anybody have those voices in their heads? Comes in right about the time you're full. You're going. You're going to make it happen. You're all excited. And this usually happens about 24, 48 hours after you've made this big decision. Right? Or somebody comes up to you and says something to you also. So here you pull back and you talk to yourself. And you coach yourself out of this. You coach you. Because if you can coach you, you can coach anybody. Because the person you're hardest on is you. Let's say that you have a friend who just lost the company $2 million. We'll go with $2 million. Now, what would you say to that friend? Fine.
Right.
Don't know you. Let's say it's, you're not in the same company with him. What would you say to a friend who made a huge error? What's that?
I don't lend money.
What else might a person say to a friend? I'm trying to go for some compassion here. Come on now, what would you say?
Once a friend, always a friend.
Once a friend, always a friend. Even if you are in big debt. Yeah. What else might you say to a friend? At least it wasn't $5 million. See, we start affirming, right? Or we might say, well, I think we need to go have a beer. You know, but what we do with friends is different than what we do with ourselves. What do you do to yourself if you make an error? Beat up on yourself. Play it over a million times, right? And that serves no purpose. And as leaders, you go back to your companies, and your people are doing the same thing. So if you learn how to be affirmative with yourself, you will be affirmative with other people. If you're hard on yourself, you're hard on other people. And that does not make for a productive combination. So that's the fourth pillar. And the fifth pillar is expectation. We also tend to under-expect. We do. We hold back. This is another area where we just don't really get involved. Because if I really expect, I'm going to have my desire juices going. And that only means that the possibility of me disappointed has just become greater, right? Right. But how else are we going to create new avenues? How else are we going to create? Yes, there may be disappointment. But here's what I say about disappointment. If I feel disappointed, it's just because I'm not trusting myself to figure this out. Trust. Back to this trust. I saw that up there. Trust. Trusting each other. You know who we have to trust first is ourselves. We have to trust our own mind power, our ability to turn this creative mechanism on. How many of you have ever just given up and said, oh, I just give up? How many of you have ever done that? Thrown yourself down and had a tantrum? Anybody? Men don't have tantrums. What do men do? Go play golf. Go shoot baskets.
Women, what do? Go have ice cream. When we give up, we do a variety of things. We have our own little technique of giving up. Now, here's my question to you. Last prom you had, you said, I give up. You remember what happened about 24, 48 hours later? You said, I give up. What happened? Let's say you took a nap. What happened when you woke up, came back? You had a new idea. Now, here's exactly what I've been talking about with these five pillars. Here is how the creative mechanism works. You went off and did something else, right? But the cool thing about the mind is it continues to work when it's backed with a desire. The desire didn't go away just because you gave it up, right? The desire was still there. And so the mind will still focus and still begin to do its work. And that's what we want to do. We want to give it up to our mind, to the creative mechanism of our mind. Give it up. Give your problems up to the creative mechanism of your mind. Back it with desire and an expectation. And what we're going to spend a few moments doing, because I know that your minds have been thinking. As I went through the five pillars, my guess is that you were thinking about a variety of things, and maybe some of the problems that you've had, some of the areas that you have not found a creative solution yet. That's what I want you to start setting some goals about how you'd like things to be. So there's another page here for suggested areas of masterminding. As far as relationships, as far as health, as far as enhanced self-esteem, more money, prosperity. But I'd like you to identify maybe three in this time that we have here. If you have more than three, go ahead, keep running them down. I'm going to give you about a minute to a minute and a half to see what comes to mind. What is it that you'd like? How would you like it to be? So it can be work-related, it can be personally related, it can be health-related, it can be whatever you choose for it to be today. Then I'm going to walk you through this process of how we conduct the mastermind meeting. Now, here's what we tend to do when we are masterminding or when we're with people and they're telling us their goals or how they'd like it to be. We tend to judge. We tend... Sit here. We're going to sit. I want you to sit here. And we're going to enact this as if we're, you know, having our weekly meeting. And the first thing you do at a weekly meeting is you talk about your successes of the previous week. And... that's the first thing. Why do we want to talk about our successes? What happens when you talk about successes? What happens mentally? You're getting in the right frame of mind for this, because what we're doing is we're deliberately accessing the creative power of our minds. And generally the best idea is to come with your goals already set. Goals you just need to take some time with. Now, I didn't give you very much time. But what you'll find as you really start spending time with this is that you start seeing all kinds of things. You will see that as you write down how you'd like it to be, that you may fine-tune that a dozen times before you really sit on it, before you finally get to the place to think, yes, that's exactly what I want. That's exactly, and so things can change. Your goals can evolve. And that's a very natural and normal process to this creative endeavor. Now, if you will read along with me, we will open our mastermind session. So we will become one mind, a mind that is very creative and thinking at very high levels. And I will read through these, and it's all you do to initiate. I will read 1 through 5. I surrender ordinary thinking. I recognize and accept that I desire to add to my own mind the power, the sum, and the substance of the intelligence, experience, knowledge, and energy of my mastermind partners to provide amazing ideas and affirmative language to assist me in generating new results now. I open my mind to receive all possibilities. I dissolve in my mind and the minds of all others any idea that my own can be withheld from me. No person, thing, or event can keep that from me, which the creative mechanism of our collective minds, the mastermind, can conceive of for me now. I give up all that has offended me. Within and without, I give up things past, things present, things future. I release positively everyone. I am free and they are free too. All things are cleared up between us now and forever. And what that does is it gets ego, resentment, stuff like that out of the way, because the function of this meeting is to go to higher levels. I understand that when two or more minds come together in the spirit of harmony, peace, and goodwill, that increased mind energy is available and will be intentionally created through this alliance to bring about greater effectiveness, energy, and good to all. 5, I now make known my specific request, asking my partner support in knowing that the cumulative power of the mastermind consciousness of this group will lift my thinking to greater problem solving, generating ideas and language. So this is where we ask now. And so we would each get a turn, but in this demonstration, I'm going to have him tell me what his goals are, and I will write down basically how I'm going to affirm this for him. So you give me your first goal.
Oh, it's a personal one. This is a health goal.
Okay, health. All right.
And I want to restore my body weight to what the recommended weight is for my height and build.
Okay. And you have a weight in mind, right? In the mastermind, he would tell me what that weight is, okay? And I would write that down. What's the power of me writing things down? I'm now engaged. I'm now engaged. Okay. I'm writing down his request. I'm now engaged on all levels. Okay. So what's the next? Is that is that going to improve your health?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Any aspect of your health you want to tell me?
I'm not sure I understand.
Well, what? How it relates? Your heart or?
I'm diabetic.
Okay, diabetic. Okay, that gives me a little more information. In a one-on-one, you know, you're going to get real personal with each other. I'm trying to keep you comfortable up here. But yes, that's a very important piece that I know that. So what that means is metabolizing and your blood sugar and the insulin and all that. Mm. Okay, great. Well, I can see that, diabetics. Okay. All right. What else?
I want to move into a different house.
Okay.
Acquire a house.
By when?
2 months.
In 2 months. Now, are you catching on that I'm asking him? And actually, you know, the idea of a mastermind partner, your job as a mastermind partner is to probe and to get information. And because I want to get you guys into your mastermind, here's just some more things I would ask him. I would ask him what size of the house. I would ask him what price range. I would ask him how many rooms. I would ask him if there's going to be a pool, a hot tub, a sauna. I would ask him to tell me everything that he wants in this house, location, all of that. Everything that he thinks is not possible, I want him to tell me. What's something about this house that you want that you don't think is really possible within your price range at this time that I could hold for you that you really, really want? That you'd like the house to have?
A sunroom.
A sunroom, okay. So he would like a sunroom in that house. Okay, now I want you to know that about 70 people have heard you, so it's very likely you're going to find a house with a sunroom, okay? okay, now, so what I do now, is that your two goals? Okay, he's going to share with me at this time. Now, however many they've got is however many you go through. And like I said, I spend 2 hours every Tuesday between the two of us going through things, talking about our successes first, talking about those problematic areas and getting to the goals and doing this element of it. Okay, so now, what's your first name?
Biagio.
Biagio? Biagio? You know, what I see about your health is I see that this getting your weight down to how you'd like it to be for your health could be much easier than what you think, and I'm just going to see for you and believe for you that you can eat those things that are really good for your body, what your body really wants at this time. And I will see that also that the diabetes can be well under control. I know that enough to know that the great person that you are, that you have a lot of internal information and intuition and knowledge, so I know that you can make this happen, and I'll hold this for you this week. And then about this house, gosh, you know, that sunroom is really great. Gosh, you know, I can just see you basking in the sun out there, hanging out, having, your summers out there. So anyway, so what I'm doing now is I'm elaborating on his vision. And that's why I try to get as much information as I can, because then as I say it back, he hears his words through my mouth and a few extra that I'm going to throw in. Now, why do I want to throw in more words? What does that do?
Encourage.
It's stimulating. What else? It's reinforcing. It's a visual. Now it's becoming more and more real. That's right. And so, how does it feel to have me tell you that I just saw that?
Makes me feel better.
Better. Okay. So you feel lighter?
I wouldn't quite say that.
But yeah. We're getting there. Okay. Okay. Now, nowhere in here did I tell him that it wasn't possible. Nowhere in here did I have a judgment. Nowhere. If he told me he wanted $10 million, I would probe around about what that means for him. What does $10 million mean to most people? Why do they want $10 million? Why do people want to win the lotto? What does it really mean? Freedom, independence. And that's what we talk about. So what I see some people do is they kill a mastermind by bringing their judgments in on what they think is possible. This is not a time period for you to discern what's possible or not. Your only function as a mastermind partner is to hold whatever they want as possible. Okay? That's your only function. And you want that back. So if you want that back, you must give it. Right? So then what we do is we go through all of his and we complete on that, then he does me. Okay? So and he writes down for me and then he tells me back what he wrote, what he saw, and he tries to expand on it for me. And that is a gift. All right? Got it? How'd that feel?
Okay.
You feel like it's something that you can give somebody else?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it's a little bit easier to give it. So receiving it was the challenge, huh? All right. So receiving is a very important piece to this, is that you must receive also. All right, let's give him a big hand. He did a great job. Good goal. And so once that's completed, then you will, one of you, and it can be anybody in the group, will repeat aloud number 5, 6, and 7. I'm sorry. I give great appreciation to the collective creative mechanism, the mastermind, as it is responding to my desires. And I assume the same feelings I will have as my requests are being actualized. That's speaking in very affirmatively. I dedicate myself to be of maximum service to those around me, to be a living example of what humanity can be, and to practice harmlessness in generating peace, love, harmony, and goodwill in my world. Now, there's another thing that I'd like you to add here. And at this point, I'd like you to write down this or something better. Because we think we know what we want, and sometimes there is a greater plan. And we just haven't gotten it all yet. And so I always add this or something better. And then I add, I go forth with a spirit of enthusiasm, excitement, and expectancy. I am at peace. And that is the close of your meeting, and that is the close of your mastermind. And with that, as we are liberated from our own fears, we liberate others. And that's what it's all about. And that's how we spread the word around. So thank you very much. You've been a fun, exciting audience for 2 hours. Thank you. Thank you.